Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Stay tuned. My Dad and Generations is next.
We want to thank Fast Track Steel Buildings for sponsoring Generations today. If your church or school is looking to expand, call Fast Track at 303-797-0991. They have buildings perfect for churches, gymnasiums, agricultural barns, riding arenas, and more. Call for a free brochure, 303-797-0991, and get your project started on the right track with Fast Track. 303-797-0991.
Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Where is this world coming to? My name's Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. I'm a father of five. I'm concerned about what's going on in this world. Hey, men showering with ladies at work? A Pennsylvania appeals court has just upheld an Allentown ordinance granting special non-discrimination rights to homosexuals. And the AFA, the American Family Association, says the decision by the Commonwealth Court opens the door for men in Allentown to come to work in a dress and to shower with female co-workers. And the story goes on to say that evidently the 2003 incident where Teamsters Union Local 773 forced Carbon County, Pennsylvania, to reinstate a transgendered prison guard in light of the Allentown ordinance. So anyway, this is happening, and you know what? There's going to be a lot of acts of intimidation and harassment on the part of homosexual activists in Allentown as a result of this particular issue. And this is not the end of it. Dave, you want to weigh in on this?
These kinds of things take on a life of their own, and it will be within 5 years that we will have some judge saying that high school boys and girls should be showering together.
That's the way the world's going, but ladies and gentlemen, on this program, we are trying to bring biblical sense to the world in which we live. The problem is we have lost our moorings. We have no law system, no ethical system that guides us, and certainly Christianity has not provided one for the last 100 years. Well, a national guilt complex now is forming over the treatment of Native American Indians, and we know this. The U.S. military... I don't know if you've heard about this, Dave, but the U.S. military now is changing the names of their operations. They used to use words like tomahawk, warrior, no more.
Really? They're not going to have the tomahawk missile or the Apache helicopter or anything like that?
I guess not. They're moving away from these things, and it's happening in sports, too.
Oh, it's been happening in sports for a long time. In fact, the Washington Post, the paper of Washington, D.C., will not refer to their professional football team by its nickname. That's actually an editorial policy. They will not say Redskins.
The Redskins. We just did it. We just said it, didn't we? And a high school team out here in Colorado, the Warriors. They had some grief, but what they do is they bring the chief down, the local Indian chief. He comes down and he brings the blessings of the gods upon them.
Oh, well, that I guess that's okay, as long as we're polytheist in our use of the name.
So it's okay to call yourselves the Warriors as long as you worship the right gods. But here's the issue we want to look at today. Why do the liberals have such a guilt complex over the American Indians? In fact, you know what? You can't even use the word Indians anymore. We're going to do that freely here because we've historically used that for those natives that have been in a certain area of the world, and so we don't have any guilt over that. But it's interesting that you begin to form a politically correct language, and all of this is atonement, Dave. It's all atonement. We're atoning for past sins. But here's my question, Dave. Why do the liberals have such a guilt complex? Because you know that when you talk about guilt, you're talking about sin. When you talk about sin, you're talking about some absolute law that you violated. But if you are cosmic dust floating around in a universe of pure chance, which liberals claim to be, they don't claim a god, they don't claim to have any transcendent law system, then what in the world is wrong with taking people's property away from them and killing them? What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing if you're doing it for a socialist cause, like to instate a big government. But these were people who were close to nature. They were closer to cosmic dust. They loved the bunnies.
But the liberals have been taking people's property away and killing them since King Ahab. They're still doing it. They like to do this kind of thing. The liberals were doing it back in the 19th century. It's eminent domain. Might means right. Isn't that Nietzsche?
I don't know. I think maybe it was a whole bunch of people. But the problem is that, see, the white man represents Christianity, represents absolute morals, absolute truth. The Indian, he was a nature lover. So when these two philosophies of life clashed, the wrong one won.
Well, it's not only that, Dave. It's also the fact that liberals like atonement, but they like other people to atone for the sins. They won't do it themselves. They've been doing this kind of thing for a long time. They pretend an evil, like class distinctions or something like that. Then they make everybody else pay for the sin. The Mayas and the Aztecs, you remember the massive atonements they did? Yeah, they got everybody else to atone. The human sacrifice, there were sometimes thousands a day that were sacrificed on those temples. But yeah, the liberals like to have other people atone for their sins. And not only that, I think of the communist revolutions. Think of the communist revolutions. Yeah, they worked up some kind of a sin or evil called class distinctions, and then they got a whole bunch of people to die. Lots and lots of atonement. Think of Lenin, Mao, and the rest of the Marxists. They've been doing that. Liberals have been atoning for sins for a long time. So now, coming up with these national sins is just an excuse to increase the power of government. It's really that. That's what they're doing. They're increasing the power of government. And we are going to look at this today. We're going to look at the real history of America. We're not going to whitewash it. We're going to look at some awful things that we did to the Native Americans. And then we're going to look at what the Bible says about this. That next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month. Yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2-OTHERS or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
Hi, folks. We're back. This is Generations. Welcome back. We are addressing the white man bad worldview. That is, anything that the white man did, anything that the white man was bad, and anything that the Native American did was good. And, Dave, this pretty much predominates the thinking of most textbooks today. If you study in the public schools, you're going to get this message loud and clear, aren't you?
Oh, very loud and clear. very loud and clear. Everything the Indian did was good and back to nature. White man was raping the land.
Right. And what about those Indian massacres?
The ones where the Indians were massacred?
Oh, those were the only ones that existed.
Right.
Right. So seldom did anybody else get massacred. Anne Hutchinson, whatever happened to her and her family out in Rhode Island?
I think they moved.
Did they move? Oh, they moved. Okay, maybe they got drowned in the ocean.
And Indians didn't war against each other. As it turns out, they were living peaceably with one another.
They weren't killing each other by the millions throughout the centuries. Okay. Well, anyway, that's the worldview that basically dominates. But, Dave, on the one hand, you've got this idea that the white man can do nothing good, the Native American can do nothing bad, but you've also got the worldview that says America can do nothing bad. In other words, America, right or wrong. And you know what? They're just as messed up as liberals on this one.
Well, they're worshiping the state.
They still are.
They're just worshiping in a different way, just a different vision of the state.
Yeah, and if you say America, right or wrong, America's justified with whatever America's ever done, that's just plain ignorance or statism, like you say. It could be the worship of the state. But let's go over some of the history of what happened with the Indians. Okay, this is going to take a little while, so let's just walk through it. At the beginning, you had some good things happening. It wasn't always good, but at the beginning, you had some good, honest men that came to this country, and they bought land, the Dutch. They bought New Amsterdam. They bought Manhattan for $100. Okay, it was a deal. It was a deal. It's worth more today.
Well, with inflation, I'm not sure.
Yeah, right. With inflation, who knows? But one of the problems that you have when you begin is you've got a lot of nomads and gypsies. And the problem is nomads and gypsies have no right to the land because they've never settled the land. That's a big problem. And that brings in an interesting issue in terms of the American Indians. Not all of them settled the land. They were nomads. And nomads do not have a right to land because they haven't fenced it, they haven't settled it, they haven't improved the land.
And in fact, in William Bradford's biography of Plymouth Plantation, he talks about purchasing land from one Indian tribe who didn't quite understand the idea of purchasing land but went along with it. But then another Indian tribe decided that they wanted to own that land. So who had the land to begin with was a question because they were still fighting amongst the Indian tribes.
Right. And when you have not settled the land, when you have not taken dominion over the land, you haven't established property rights. In other words, God comes to us and says, here's an earth. Take dominion. Cultivate the land. Set up houses and fences and start growing things in this land. And when you haven't done that, you just simply have not settled the land. The pagans do not have an understanding of the Eighth Commandment. In fact, they steal from each other constantly. This is just the way pagans live. When you do not have a biblical worldview such that you respect other people's property, you respect God's commandment, which says, thou shalt not steal, you don't understand private property. You don't have a right to private property.
And it's a misnomer to say he who was there first owns it any more than to say that the homeless guy who lives under the bridge now somehow or other owns that bridge because he's been living there longer.
That's exactly right. All right. Now, let's talk about America's failures because we did fail to some extent. It started in the 19th century, and part of it was Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin, as everybody knows, was the atheistic evolutionist who basically was cutting off the existence of God and God's law order. And here's what this famous evolutionist said in The Descent of Man. Listen to this. At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, says Darwin, the civilized races will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. You see, Charles Darwin, I mean, he did not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did not believe that Jesus as resurrected from the dead could change people's lives. And we could have civilized tribes all over the world.
In fact, Charles Darwin thought that the uncivilized tribes were less evolved and therefore somehow less human. And in fact, in Australia, up till about 10 years ago, in their Museum of Natural History, they had Aborigines stuffed, you know, kind of representations as unhuman.
Yeah. Dave, this worldview from the 19th century, it has completely infiltrated the way that people think. It infiltrated the way people thought. In the 19th century, there were Christians that began to think like Charles Darwin, and they did not respect these natives. In fact, a lot of Christians would not even want to take the gospel to the Aborigines out in Australia or to the American Indians out here in America. That's just the way Charles Darwin affected the way people thought.
If you read the David Livingstone biographies, when he goes to Africa, people are saying, why bother? These are unhumans. These are somehow or other not worthy of the gospel. So we were fighting this big time 100 years ago.
They acted upon that worldview, that evolutionist, Darwinist worldview, People acted on that in the 19th century, and not far from where I live in Sand Creek, Colorado, in December of 1864, approximately 130 years ago, John Chivington, happened to be a Methodist, by the way, John Chivington led a military troop against 150 Indian children, women, and old men, and worked to exterminate those savages. I'm not sure that, and that's what they said, to exterminate those savages. I'm not sure they got all of them. They waited till the men were away hunting. They went in and slaughtered women, children, and old men and displayed portions of their anatomy, their hacked-off anatomy, before an audience in a Denver theater. That happened in 1864. This is what happens when you begin to treat people like something less than people. Now, I'm going to say that was bad, Dave. I'm going to say that was bad.
I'm thinking that was probably bad. Yeah, I'm putting that on the bad side of the column.
Yeah, so America, right or wrong? Wrong.
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 See, if you were hunting an animal, you wouldn't even go and take the female and the offspring and leave the males. See, that would just be bad dominion, even if it was non-human. This was just hate and evil.
You wouldn't even do it to animals. Good point. Andrew Jackson, you know, I like Andrew Jackson, a good president in many ways. He fought the central bank, but he violated treaties. He backed a bill that removed Indians to land west of the Mississippi, and Davy Crockett, of course, opposed him on that. Interesting comment from Ellis's, the very earliest biography of Davy Crockett. I love this guy. Davy Crockett stood up against Andrew Jackson in his Indian bill. He said, "I believe the measure is unjust and wicked, and I shall fight it. Let the consequences be what they may." And, of course, he lost his position because he opposed Jackson on this. "I am willing to go with General Jackson in everything I believe is right and honest, but beyond that, I won't go for any man in creation. I would sooner be honest and politically damned than hypocritically immortalized." Isn't that something? Yeah, I just think Davy Crockett was one of the very best men of the 19th century. Even after Jackson, though, Indians were persecuted. October 30th, 1879, the Ponca tribe out in Nebraska, they were forced at the point of a bayonet to march 600 miles away from their land. About 25% of them died on that march. And you know what? These people had homes and farms out in Nebraska. They were settled. They were peaceful. They were devoted to their farms. And they were removed forcibly by the United States federal government. I just think that's evil.
We'll put that on the bad side of the column.
That would be bad. That would be bad. A large portion of these guys had already converted to Christianity. They sent their children to schools and all the rest. In 1866, I think that's when things got really bad. And a lot of it was because of one of the most evil men in all of American history. The man I'm talking about, this is a man who Lenin, you know, the communist, this guy studied this guy, General William Sherman. He wrote a letter to U.S. Grant. He said, "We must act against the Sioux, even to their extermination, man, woman, and child." And he encouraged his soldiers not to distinguish between male and female in the killing. Sherman, actually, I don't know if you knew this, Dave, Sherman is attributed to be the first to publish the statement, "The only good Indian is a dead Indian." And you know what? That worldview affected a lot of people. In fact, you read Little House on the Prairie, and Pa in Little House on the Prairie, he uses that statement. That statement affected a lot of people. "The only good Indians, a dead Indian." That came from General Sherman.
We hear that kind of mentality today. People just substitute the word Indian, put the word Arab in there.
Yeah, or "the only good child is a wanted child." Yeah, yeah, there's one too. Anyway, well, we've got some tough history here, but let's look at this from a biblical worldview, shall we? Okay. The first point I want to make is that Deuteronomy 15 is very clear that when you go out in war against others, you're not to kill woman and child. That makes us different from the savages, Dave. If we are going out like William Sherman and a lot of other people did, the guy Chivington out in Denver, if we go out like these guys did and we slaughter woman and child, we are violating God's law. We are undermining exactly what we were. We're becoming the savages we're fighting. And to me, that's sad. We violate Deuteronomy 15, we become savages. Secondly, the Bible says, you know what? As far as past sins are concerned, if you look back on any history, whether it be the history of Kevin Swanson and his family or the history of America, and if you look back at history, you're going to see sins. But the Bible is very clear here. The sons are not to pay for their father's sins. That comes from Deuteronomy 24:16.
And sadly, this was violated by some of my heroes in history, some of the reformers who wanted to persecute the Jews. Our fathers, even some of our fathers of the faith, were not consistent in this.
That's exactly right. So you look back at history, you're going to see the sins of fathers. But you know what? We're not to pay for them. But what are we to do, Dave? We're to repent, aren't we? We're not to repeat the sins.
That's what we're to do. We're not to repeat the sins. So let's stop killing people and taking their property away. I think that'd be a good start. Maybe stop abortion and eminent domain. Those are two things I can think of.
And two things that we'll put on the bad side of the column.
Yeah. Yeah. And we continue to do this. I mean, you think about it. The Supreme Court of the United States has been perpetuating the evil of Sherman, Andrew Jackson, and all the others in that recent constitutional decision, or Connecticut decision. Remember the Connecticut decision? Where they violated eminent domain. They took away people's property in Connecticut. So we continue to do exactly what these people are doing in the 19th century. So are we repenting? I don't think so. But we are required to do this by God's law, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And, you know, it's kind of ironic because one of the biggest stories in the news right now has to do with the Gaza Strip. What's going on? Is this the country of Israel is taking away private property from citizens who don't want to give it up and giving it to other people because they think that's better for the state.
Right. And this is just statism. The state needs to repent. The American government and the Israel government needs to repent. We need to stop taking people's property away from them. In fact, I would say remove property taxation. Because what is property taxation but one more excuse to take somebody's property away from them?
Well, it's rent. It's rent that you pay forever.
Exactly. And we're facing more property confiscation. We're not repenting of this. You know, you talk about repenting on this issue of taking people's property away as we treated the Indians 120 years ago. We're repeating this, and we can just expect more of it under the guise of environmentalism, atonement for previous sins. We're going to just do more of it? I don't think so. Let's not do that. Let's repent of it. And let's teach your children a proper worldview in respect to how we treat Indians and how we treat our neighbor. Ladies and gentlemen, the subject today is how we treated the Indians and how we can repent of that today. We'll be back in just a moment.
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members of Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School on Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
This is Kevin Swanson. Let me tell you, I'm planning to use National Driver Training Institute's program for my son Daniel because parent-directed driver education has proven to be the most effective training process in the United States. This program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is approved in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and many other states. Your teenager can start the process at 15 years old and receive his license by 16. This course is recognized by every insurance company in Colorado and approved for home study by the state of Colorado. Programs start at just under $100 and you will have everything you need to create a safe driver for life. Call National Driver Training Institute at 800-942-2050. That's 800-942-2050. Or visit them on the web at nationaldrivertraining.com. Let them know you heard about it right here on Generations.
We're back. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. And today we're looking at the way we treated the Indians. And folks, you know what? When it comes to the way we treat others, whether it be in war or in any other sort of situation, we've got to go back to the absolute standard of God's Word. Because if we do not go back to the standards of God's Word, all bets are off. There is nothing that can restrain what man can do. As we wrap up the program today, I want to encourage you to get a resource that could be very helpful to you. Hopefully it will help you to regain some vision for what God is doing in the history of this nation. It's my book, The Second Mayflower, and in that book, I'm given some hope for the future because I think God is doing something in this nation. God is raising up a number that are faithful to His law,
faithful to his word, and they are going to make a significant difference in the future. I truly believe that. It's called The Second Mayflower, How Christian Ethics Will Change Our Nation. You can get this book by calling 877-842-CHECK or checkbooks.com, checbooks.com on the web. I just have a few copies left, the very last printing, and you can get the book by calling 877-842-CHEC. You can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in, and that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Looking for a wholesome and adventuresome vacation idea for your family? Join Worldview Academy's Bill Jack at Latigo Ranch during the week of September 25th. It's a perfect western vacation with mountains, trails, horses, and great country cooking. We've got special rates for this exclusive homeschool week. Kids who are under 13 will take 50% off their already reduced prices. Latigo Ranch is where you want to be. LaticoTrails.com or call 800-227-9655.